It's 8:36 in the Big 550 KTRS. Vicki Pimentel is here. She is co-hosting with us, guest co-hosting, if you will. Joining us also is David Stokes, the Show Me Institute policy analyst. Good morning, David Stokes.
Morning, McGraw. Good morning, Vicki.
Good morning, David.
You are a Romney delegate, correct?
Well, I was in the earlier caucuses that the state held. I'm not going to the national convention.
Oh, okay.
All right. But I was a Romney delegate at the local level.
Okay, gotcha. What are your thoughts on Paul Ryan being picked over the weekend as vice president?
I'm very excited about the pick of Congressman Ryan. Congressman Ryan's sort of known as a policy guy.
Right.
So it's my hope that part of the campaign, whichever side you're on, with him on the ticket, can be even more focused on policy debates and questions of how we want to move forward and less personal, less attack, and more just a debate on the issues. I think that's good for democracy, and it's good for policy people like me, too.
Were you surprised by the pick at all?
No, I wasn't too surprised. I think Congressman Ryan was on most of the right lists of the final four or five candidates. You know, he excites a lot of Republicans. He excites a lot of conservatives. He's got a lot of big ideas, and yeah, we can now move ahead for the next couple months and debate these ideas.
I was surprised that he was I'm surprised Romney went for a congressman, which is, I mean, when was the last time that happened? And
a
then
direct congressman, it was straight from Congress to the White House would have been a long time ago.
Yeah, and then I was surprised that Portman, right? I mean, Portman was the guy from Ohio. You need Ohio. That state is in play. It just seems to me like that would have been not in terms of the guy, but it just in terms of the whole structure of it all, I thought that might have been a better pick.
Well, we'll find out the day after the election. But I think, you know, perhaps this brings Wisconsin into play. I know they probably have a lot more polling than I'm aware of.
Right.
But I think Congressman Ryan, from the perspective of debating policy issues and where we're going to go with entitlements and Medicare and how we're going to fund these things going forward, because we're on a path that we have to change. And be it some would like higher taxes, some would like fewer services. I'd be in the latter realm, but we have to change it. And this, having him on board will be a fun part of the discussion.
Do you think Republicans really want to get into a conversation that says going forward, the government's going to give you a check for $6,400? If you're over 65 and you're in charge of having that last for your health insurance for the year?
Well, I hope so. I think, you know, they're trying to point out that they're not talking about changing the current system, that this is implementing changes for more our generation or people even younger than us, McGraw. And I think we're going to have to go in that direction. And, yeah, for $6,400. In today's dollars, you can buy an insurance policy for that amount of money. Mm-hmm. And if that's the insurance policy that can deal with your needs, then that's great. And I think we have to go in that type of a direction.
What happens with me? I'm 45. I've been paying in for 25 years. What happens to that money?
I don't know. You know, I don't know the ins and outs of everything to the Ryan plan. I do know that for people not yet in the system, I think we need to make changes. We need to, and I like Paul Ryan's idea of more personal ownership of your own health insurance.
We will leave this for future discussions. David Stokes, always a pleasure to be in here. You're a policy analyst with the Show Me Institute. What's interesting about the last, I guess, week or so with this Paul Ryan pick and then the primary here is that I think the most interesting story to come out in the last 7 days was the day after Todd Akin wins the primary. Senator McCaskill puts up a website, The Truth About Todd Akin, and it lists three or four different things that McCaskill really wants to hit Akin with. And somebody asked Congressman Akin, what are your thoughts on this truthaboutToddAkin.com website? And Todd Akin's like, that's about right. So, I mean, clearly there is the voters will have a choice going forward.
And that's the nice thing about clearly bifurcated general elections. Like you see in some of these primary elections, the candidates are so close on so many issues
right
that it's certainly inevitable that it will get down to nasty personal attacks, because that's the only way you can separate yourself from your opposition. But with a general election like this, yeah, the people of Missouri we're going to have a choice between two different views of government, and it's a there'll be a wide choice in many ways, and I think it's going to be a very close election. But as part of that, it would be nice if we have a sort of a clean election, as people are saying. That's going to be the benefit of this. We don't need to go to personal attacks to separate these two candidates.
Right, because they both think so differently. And so they're just pointing out, look, he's for this, she's for that. She voted for Obamacare, he didn't. She voted for the bank bailouts, he didn't. By the way, Paul Ryan voted for the bank bailouts and the auto bailouts. All right. Did you want to comment on that?
No.
Okay. So really, Todd Akin's really more conservative than Congressman Paul Ryan.
Well, Congressman Akin is pretty conservative, and so those primary attacks on him for, you know,
being too
liberal, not being conservative enough were a little peculiar.
Okay, good. At least I wasn't the only one commenting on that. I wasn't the only one who noticed that. What's the, your district? There was a one vote win. What's
right,
the story?
I live in the state rep race, the state rep district. I think it's the 73rd, where two incumbent Democrats were put into the same district, and it was Representative Susan Carlson and Representative Stacey Newman, and no Republican filed because it's a fairly Democratic area. I live in University City, and this district is Clayton, Richmond Heights.
How'd you end up over there? Terrible realtor, clearly.
We have wonderful realtors, the Caseys, and we love U City, but yeah, it is sort of a Democratic area,
right.
And this district also includes some Republican parts in Ladue. But so these two Democratic incumbents are running against each other, and never let it be said that your vote doesn't matter, because according to the count, as of the election night, subject to recount, of course, this is a one-vote margin. And I know somebody, and I'm not going to name he or she, who sort of was debating back and forth on the two candidates and really thought about it and went into the polls sort of undecided and picked one. And had he changed his vote, his right. or her vote, it would have been a different outcome.
How many votes were cast?
I think it was like about 3,650 roughly. I think
okay.
it was 1823 to 1822.
Right. All right.
So any one of those any one voter for Stacey Newman who's winning as of pre-recount, winning, any one of those voters who'd switched their vote or simply not shown up, and this election would have had a different outcome. So never let it be said your vote doesn't count.
When the vote's that close, really, you count as two votes, because
right.
I'm going to vote for that person means you're going to take away the vote from the other person. So it's really a two-vote swing, the vote you don't get and the vote somebody else gets because of it.
And it's a good reminder, if you're ever like an independent voter and you're trying to decide which primary to vote in, and you say, well, there's an interesting Republican Senate race I might want to run in, but there's this Democratic state rep race I might want to vote in, you know, my rule of thumb would be always pick the one with the smaller, the more localized election where your vote has a bigger chance of actually mattering. So if you were an independent voter in this district and you went in debating between Republican Senate, because with our open primary laws, you
right.
can pick any ballot on election day, always go with the more local race where your vote was going to matter just a bit more.
So in other words, you would have counseled people in your district to take the Democratic ballot as opposed to the Republican ballot to vote for the Senate.
If they were an independent,
right, right. Was,
you know, I yeah. didn't have such a dispute in my mind myself.
But, right.
So if you were an independent, I would have said, look, you've got the state rep race versus this Senate race. Your vote is going to matter more in the state rep race. And sure enough, it certainly would have.
Did you think Claire McCaskill's ads on saying Akin is too conservative for Missouri, do you think that worked to her advantage in getting people to vote for Akin?
Yes, I do.
You do?
I think that there were conservative Republican voters out there who hadn't decided yet that saw that list things and decided they agreed with the congressman on many of those things, and as I do, and went with that. I also think there were, in outstate Missouri, there were a number of Democrats who didn't have much to pick on their own ballot, for instance, who would have pulled the Republican ballot. And I did some quick math. There was a wide discrepancy between the number of ballots cast for the Republican Senate race and the number of ballots cast in the Republican governor's race. And I think, you know, there's like a 40,000 vote discrepancy, if I remember the the math I did a few days ago.
Hold on a second. So you're saying that more people voted for the Republican primary than voted for the Republican governor primary?
Right.
Yeah.
And
to
I
the
think
tune
a good
of $40,000.
$40,000 people. And I think some of those people are Democrats who wanted to support Senator McCaskill by voting for Congressman Aiken, perhaps, and then just voted that and left,
and then didn't care about any other race.
Right.
But you also get a drop off, don't you, as well? I mean, if that Senate race is the top of the ticket, you do have drop off as you go down the line.
You do. The drop off is going to be more of an issue in like really long November ballots where there's dozens of candidates and dozens of issues, and it takes a while to vote. You wouldn't see too much drop-off in a primary ballot with only six or seven choices, particularly not between the first thing and the second thing.
Yeah, that's interesting. All right. What about you went through your property tax appeal at U City?
Well, St. Louis County.
Live
in U City, but assessment is done at the county level. So it was sort of a put your money where your mouth is moment for me, since I've been sort of writing about property taxes and studying them. We've written a couple policy studies at Show Me Institute on property taxation.
Right.
And here was an instance where, all right, I've done a lot of thinking and writing. Here's a little something I have to do in regards to property taxation.
Right.
So it was fun, and I encourage people. We have some informed property owners in St. Louis County. I think back in 2001, the whole drive-by assessment scandal taught a lot of people in our county about how the assessment system works and rights you have. So ever since then, I think you've had a lot of people appealing. A lot of people follow the issue every other year when it comes about.
And so you had a property tax increase for your own personal house? What's the story here?
We did not. We bought a new house earlier this year. We bought a house in March, and it was still based, because assessments are done in odd years, it was based on the 2011 assessment.
Gotcha.
And we felt that assessment was much higher than we paid for our house just a few months back.
Sure.
So we appealed. Now, you couldn't just appeal on what we paid in March, because you have to demonstrate the value of the house back in January 1st of 2011.
Okay.
Next year, the latest value will be made. So we took what we paid for the house, added back in some, went to like the Case-Shiller Real Estate Index, found out how much property values had declined in St. Louis in the last five quarters, added that back into what we paid for the house, which was still a substantial drop from what the county had.
Right.
And everybody at the Board of Equalization was very professional, and I was very pleased to say they agreed with our valuation.
Nice. There you go.
So I encourage property owners to take full advantage of their rights. Not everybody knows you can appeal in even-numbered years, too. So if your situation is like that, you can do it either year.
Way to stick it to the man. Excellent.
Yeah, Just trying to get an accurate valuation on our house, which I think we have now.
And more importantly, you stuck it to the man. Show Me Institute policy analyst David Stokes. David, what's the website?
ShowMeInstitute.org. Our blog is ShowMeDaily.org. You can follow us, friend us on Facebook, or you can follow me on Twitter, at David C. Stokes.
Anything new at the Show Me Institute we should know about?
We have a couple public forums. We have a couple speeches and lectures in September coming up, so people should check out our website. We're having Arthur Brooks, the head of the American Enterprise Institute, is giving a lecture at St. Louis University with a sort of a speaker series we have with SLU and the Show Me Institute, and there's a lot of seats open for that.
All right, beautiful. David Stokes, have a good week.
Thanks, McGraw.
850 KTRS.